What a blessing that there is those who faithfully serve the Lord and faithfully want people to know Christ, and the blessing that we have of caring for that family to be able to, and all those and with Urban Chapel, to be able to do what the Lord has called them to do. So, yeah. It's neat to see the building they've been able to purchase. Yeah. All right. If you have your Bibles, I'm not going to make you flip a whole bunch today. You can kind of be lazy, I guess, but in a good way, if that makes sense. But before we start, I want to read to you Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 on to 15, where we've been in. So Colossians chapter 3, verse 1. If then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on the things that are above, not on the things that are on earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then also will appear with him in glory. Put to death, therefore, what is earthly in you: sexual immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. On account of these, the wrath of God is coming. In these, you too once walked, when you were living in them. But now you must put on, but now you must put them all away: anger, wrath, malice, slander, and obscene talk from your mouth. Do not lie to one another, seeing that you have put off the old self with its practices, and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge after the image of its creator. Here there is not Greek and Jew, circumcised and uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave, free, but Christ in all and in all. Put on then, as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved and compassionate, hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, bearing with one another, and if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other. As the Lord has forgiven you, so also must you too forgive. And above all these, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. Would you flip over with me to James chapter 1? It's right on the front of your bulletin too. But James chapter 1, verse 23 to 25. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man who looks intently at his natural face in a mirror. For he looks at himself and goes away and at once forgets what he was like. But the one who looks into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and perseveres, being no hearer who forgets, but a doer who acts, he will be blessed in his doing. Let's pray. Father, again, I thank you for each that are here, each that are unable to be here, whether that be with physical health or other situations that have kept them from us here today. I thank you, Father, that we can trust you and trust your plans, and that we can seek your will to know your calling for our lives and for the calling of the church itself, your people, one body being brought together, the body of Christ. Thank you for the work of Christ. Thank you for the completed work of Christ. And Father, as we go through these scriptures here today, just let us resonate on them as we've already heard of your word and heard your word spoken. And as we go through the teaching that you have laid upon my heart, that it would bring to life what is needed for each of us as we contemplate on it and then bring it to the word, your word, to complete what your Spirit is going to complete within us, the good works that were formed before the foundation of the earth for us to do and fulfill. Thank you, Father, that you give us a calling and that you finish a work that you started. Open our ears and our eyes and our hearts and our minds to you now. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. We ended last week with our 8-part series on this. This is the 9th. We're not going to go any further with interpersonal relationships. And I love that we have the opportunity now to celebrate Christ's death and Christ's resurrection. Yes, from beginning. There we go. Those little people are supposed to represent you all. Examine, except for you're not blue, except for some that are wearing blue. Examine, evaluate, explore, and establish is kind of the idea, or not kind of, is the idea with a review on everything that we have gone through with interpersonal relationships. So examine, evaluate, establish. Understanding the biblical view of how important interpersonal relationships are is fundamental. First, for the growth of our vertical relationship with God. And second, it reflects our own personal life. We are learning how relationships will foster a practice of life beneficial to the call to unity from the peace of Christ ruling in our lives. So we are going to be examining, evaluating, and exploring our own actions and establishing the right attitudes in light of sound doctrine in our own relations, in our relationships, will produce a habit conducive of faithfully reflecting the image of Christ in love. So my desire with this sermon is that we would, again, examine, evaluate, explore, and establish everything from which we have already gone through. And some of you were not there, Mr. and Mrs. Ipema. You just got back, so you haven't been here, so you get a little bit of an overview of it. But I have heard it said from other preachers, maybe you've heard the same thing, but there's an idea that the church or that a pastor or someone preaching should preach in the form of having or everyone having a 10th grade education, which there is a form or a little bit to that. There is an idea that we should not make it so difficult that no one can understand what's being said. But I don't really believe that that is what the Lord has called us to do as preachers or as people. So I would say rather that we would not do that. But I don't believe that a grade should really be placed on the IQ of God's people or on their understanding of the scriptures. Jesus gave hard parables to his own disciples, when he taught them. So if everything comes to us on a platter, we will often become lazy gluttons, expecting that everyone should serve us. So our series on unity in interpersonal relationships has been a growth period for myself. I hope that it's been a growth period for all of you as well as we've gone through this. Just as we know an athlete, when he's working or training for the next event, or someone who is working to keep their body fit, we must break a sweat, or they must break a sweat. It takes due diligence to get to that point and to keep yourself in that. So we must become physically strong in studying the Word to know who Christ is and what Christ has completed. So with our Christian walk, it is important to meditate on the Word. We should read the Word, but meditate upon it. Think about it throughout the day. And if we're not in it, of course, we're not going to know it. So we can't say, I hear things from God, when we don't study the Word of God. So it's very important that we study the Word of God. I know many of you do. The Christian life is not one of ease. If you aspire to live the life of Christ, then I encourage you to encourage one another and build one another up. 1 Thessalonians. The next one. Interpersonal relationships are built upon the Word of God, informing conscious efforts to examine, evaluate, and explore and establish godly truths through the example of Christ's life lived out in us. I don't know how much more I could say that. It's very true. We live out what God has called us to. Within communication, this is my first point within this. Within communication, we examine. So here's an example with bringing out examine. Cultivate a vertical relationship. And I've said this to you before. Just remember, recap with this. Cultivate a vertical relationship with God. Spend time in prayer, reading the Bible, and meditating on God's Word. For instance, committing it to memory. These things strengthen your personal relationship with God, which in turn helps you relate better with others. I know I've said this before, but every time I am intentional about my own personal study with the Lord, my personal relationships can become challenging. Not in a bad way, but in a good way. To work on my own interpersonal relationship. So as I spend time with the Lord, then my interactions come about. I become less judgmental, and I hope this happens for you, of others, and more focused on how to work out maturity in my own personal life and the care of what others need as a Christian fellow for another brother and sister in Christ. So I hope that happens for you. Often, I study the Word, and when I'm really in deep with it, I start having more compassion. I become more gracious. And when I put aside the Word of God, I become, or can become, my wife can probably attest to this, I become more snippety or judgmental. Effective communication is the cornerstone of any robust relationship. It encompasses active listening, clear articulation of thoughts and feelings, and openness to feedback. Open and honest communication is the foundation of any strong relationship. It involves actively listening, expressing thoughts and feelings clearly, and being receptive to feedback. Just stop there for a second, though. Everyone should have the opportunity to speak. It isn't just one-sided, and sometimes we may not always agree or see eye to eye, but we have to have the opportunity to be able to speak and to share. So that's why it's very important within our relationships to take that time to listen. This requires examination. We must examine our communication with those around us. examine yourselves, the scriptures tell us, 2 Corinthians 13:5. You've probably read it numerous amounts of time, along with 2 Peter 1:10. Be all the more diligent to confirm your calling and election. I would recommend on the idea of interpersonal relationships and growth in Christ and your relationship with God and with other people, read 2 Peter 1:1 and on, even a little further than 10. I can't remember the exact amount, but read in that section. It would be very helpful for you and for your relationships to study that and to know that, because all the more diligent to confirm your calling and election. Stand firm on the word of God and the word of faith. In our listening, evaluate and explore is the next point. Hopefully you get an excellent check mark for yourself when you evaluate yourself, that you are in the faith and growing in the faith. Active listening is truly hearing what the other person is saying without interrupting or planning your response while they're talking. Have you tried that lately? It's pretty difficult to not respond to someone when they're saying something, whether it's if you don't agree or whatever it is, or you're excited about it. It's hard to intentionally just hold back and not start to think about something that you're going to say, but it really does help. It helps you to hear what they're saying and what they're bringing to you. So aim to resolve conflicts peacefully and maintain harmony and the bond of peace in your relationships. This involves actively listening, understanding different perspectives, and being willing to compromise. That's another difficult thing to do as well for us. Ephesians 4:29 from the NIV, do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. Then in James 1:19, just a little bit back from what we read earlier, ESV, it says, know this, my beloved brothers, let every person be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger. That verse isn't just for some of us, that's for all of us. So can you imagine if you only said what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, so that you were only a benefit to those around you? It starts with our quick listening and our slowness to speak. Take note of this, my brothers and sisters. We must evaluate things and use discernment, analyze and make sound judgments to the effectiveness or significance of others or of while listening to one another. We must then use sound judgment. One of the greatest and most important aspects of any teacher is the ability to listen. And if you have a good book on teaching, this will be one of the places or one thing that they will teach on, if they are a good teacher who has wrote a teaching book on teaching, that you listen. Listening is a very difficult thing. Some people maybe just naturally get it and they never want to talk. But listening is hard, because a lot of times we have a lot of things to say or want to say. So first, the listening to God is important for a good listener, and then to listen to the people. As a teacher of God, that is very important. You can know all things as a teacher, but if you can't listen, it's pretty useless. One of the ways this is most effective is by exploring the Word of God. Isaiah 55:3, give ear and come to me, listen that you may live. That you may live. We need to be listening to God's Word in order to be good listeners to others and to be able to convey His Word to others. The same way a man mines the earth to find gold, so we must mine the Word so we have the wisdom necessary to connect and communicate and resolve conflicts. Ecclesiastes 5:1 also calls us to guard our steps when we go to the house of God or gather together like today. He says, drawing near to listen is better than offering the sacrifice of fools because they do not know that they are doing evil. I think about Christ on the cross, just to stop and separate from myself from this whole sermon here that I've written down, but we see Christ, or many saw Christ go to the cross. The Pharisees, who knew the law, knew the word of God. If anyone was going to know the word of God strong, it would have been them. And they looked at him, riled at him, and Christ says, forgive them, for they do not know what they do. They're ignorant. What a loving Father and a loving God we have. Amen. Within trust and respect, we establish. Building trust takes time, and through our consistency of actions comes dependability. So it's essential for us to secure a safe environment where individuals can be confident in safety to share personal information. So we must establish a strong relationship with those around us, our family. Look to your right, look to your left. Look in front of you. Look behind you. These are your people. This is your family. Establish strong relationships. Trust boundaries and mutual respect. Sometimes I've heard it said myself that we struggle to trust people. And I want to encourage you, though, to trust God. People will fail. People will fall. They will break, but God does not, so trust him and pray that he will make you trustworthy, safe. Put your confidence in Christ. In doing this, if each of us is doing this, then we will be doing unto others what we would have them do unto us. Something that I think is important as well, all of this I think is, but another thing is to notice with this point on how your gender doesn't give less rights or more rights. Each gender has the right to actively listen, understanding perspectives, and willing to compromise. Let the peace of Christ rule. Allow the peace of Christ to guide your decisions and actions. When faced with challenges, remind yourself of God's presence and peace and let that influence how you respond. With that, mutual respect entails appreciating others' opinions, boundaries, and their own individuality. It involves treating others with kindness, gentleness, and thoughtfulness, even in the face of disagreement. I don't know if all of you got that down packed, but that's one thing that, yeah, it's... You know how you just want to say something back to somebody because you just may not see eye to eye? It's easy to do, but the Spirit of God can do a work within us. He can teach us, if we're willing to listen, to hold back our tongue. We need to watch our tongue and the things we say. So, NASB, New American Bible Standard, New American Standard Bible, Galatians 6, 1 and 2, on the opinions of boundaries, says, brothers and sisters, this is the exact scripture, brothers and sisters, even if a person is caught in any wrongdoing, you who are spiritual are to restore such a person in a spirit of gentleness, each one looking to yourself so that you are not tempted as well. Bear one another's burdens and thereby fulfill the law of Christ. Empathy and conflict resolution. Practice love and forgiveness. Make a conscious effort to show love, and when necessary, forgiveness in your interactions. Remember that love is a choice and an action, not just a feeling. Reflect, I would say, on 1 Corinthians 13 and strive to embody those qualities. I think if you're going to memorize some verses, I've been thinking about this lately again, some verses that would be really good for us as believers. Again, I think if we could memorize the whole Bible, that would be awesome. But if there's some, 1 Corinthians 13 on love would be one. If you are intentional in your responses, you can show forgiveness and then listen to how you may have hurt another individual. Empathy involves recognizing, being sensitive to, and understanding another's feelings, thoughts, and experiences. It aids in forging deeper connections and nurturing compassion and support. Conflicts are a natural part, we know that, of life. Effective conflict resolution involves addressing issues calmly, finding common ground, and working toward mutual beneficial solutions. We must communicate using God's word. Putting into practice the words we hear from God to be quick to listen and then slow to speak. When these are the first two things we do, we begin the practice of establishing trust and respect with those who are around us and family. I must remind you that all of this happens because of the finished work of Christ. He completed in himself what we are completely unable to do in our own selves. So please don't forget that. This is not a work of your flesh. This is the completed work of Christ within a believer's life and the Spirit that has gone to work in each of us when we strive after seeking relationship with him and with people. You can't do this on your own. You can try, but it won't go so well. Interpersonal relationships are built upon the Word of God, influencing our efforts to examine, evaluate, explore, and then establish godly truths through the example of Christ's life lived out in us as believers. If you desire to live life in Christ, then encourage one another and build one another up. Again, 1 Thessalonians 5:11. There's a few things I want to leave you with before we end here today. But James, I believe, is a very important scripture that we should think about. For he looks, this is James 1, 23 and 25. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man who looks intently at his natural face in the mirror. For he looks at himself, goes away, and at once forgets what he was like. But the one who looks into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and perseveres, being a hearer who forgets, but a doer who acts, he will be blessed in his doing. Sometimes I think about those mirrors, or when I was thinking about this too. You know those mirrors at the fair, and you go through, and that one stage, you go up in that thing, and you go through, and then there's like the ones that make you look really wide, and then really thin and tall. But we look into the mirror, the law of liberty, and we see the grace of God is what we should see. We shouldn't, because we see our own sin, and we see the grace of God through Christ, and the redemption that is given through Christ from our God and Savior. So if we have found life in Christ, we can look at our own brothers and sisters in the faith and seeing our own reflection in the mirror, remember that we are too sinners, wholly dependent on the grace of God. Likewise, we need to look at unbelievers. We recall the state we were once in, lost and without a Savior, and extend to them the same grace that has been so freely and mercifully given to us. If we have found life in Christ, the reflection we see in the mirror becomes a reminder of God's ongoing work within us. When we look at our brothers and sisters in Christ, we are called to recall our own imperfections and recognize that we too are sinners in constant need of God's grace. This acknowledgement allows us to extend patience, forgiveness, and love to others, fostering unity in the bond of Christ. If you remember when we went through Jacob, his hip was a reminder of God's ongoing blessing. Then Paul, too, the thorn in the flesh, it was a reminder that God's grace is sufficient. Likewise, as we turn to the unbeliever, we are reminded of the state that we once were in, lost, burdened by sin and longing for salvation, or maybe not even longing for it. It is through this perspective that we can approach them with compassion, humility, and grace, or a grace-filled heart, knowing that we ourselves were once without a hope, no hope, lost. Our actions and attitudes toward them become a testimony of grace we have received, reflecting the love of Christ, who bore the weight of sin, died for us, and rose again to give us life. So, believer, lean fully into your Savior, resting in his peace and grace. Seeker or unbeliever, if you're here today, find your refuge in the saving work of Christ, who is willing and has willingly laid down his own life and has rose again to give you life. So see the weight of sin placed upon him and embrace the freedom and hope he offers. Let's pray. Father, I thank you again for your word. I thank you for these words today. And I thank you for each that is here. I thank you for the grace that you bestow to us, that you give to us that we really do not deserve. The wrath of God was on and is on upon all man. But Christ has appeased it, that anyone who comes to him may find life. So, Father, if there is anyone lost and not having life here today, that they would come to you, the Savior, and find life and live life anew, having a relationship with you and those around them. Bless everyone. In Jesus' name, amen.
Let's stand and close. My Jesus, I love thee. I know thou art mine. For thee all the follies of sin I resign. My grace. Jesus 'tis now.
Ephesians 2, 8 to 10. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing, it is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Amen. Go in peace.